is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained.
News for the Soul is now in its 25th year of broadcasting. Tune in live or visit the archives at newsforthesoul.com. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show. First up today, it's the Bright Shaman with Iris. Let's bring her on to reintroduce herself, her show, and what's up for today. Iris, welcome back.
Hi, Nicole. It's lovely to be here. I am Iris, Bright Shaman. Today, I am talking about shamanic approaches to illness, which is a very interesting topic. I will be taking callers a little bit later on. But first, I'd like to talk about that.
Beautiful. So, the floor is yours.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Okay, well, if this is your first time listening, I'm Iris. I'm a shamanic healer and teacher. I currently live in Switzerland, although I'm from California originally. And I love everything shamanic. I like to share it with the world. And today I am talking about shamanic approaches to illness. Now, the shamanic way of looking at it is that everything it originates in the unseen world before it manifests physically. Of course, that includes illness and disease. So in order to help someone that has an illness or a condition or a disease, we look at unseen elements. We look at elements, spiritual elements, elements in the spirit world. Now, in traditional shamanism, we're talking about African tribes, South American tribes, Mongolia, places like this, it was often thought that illnesses were caused by curses, like that someone maliciously, if someone became ill, the shaman would search for where the energy came from and try and capture it and return it to the sender, basically. But nowadays, we look at it a little bit differently. We look at sort of the ways that there are imbalances. So we're looking at when I see a client who has an illness, I'm looking for energetic and spiritual imbalances. Now, these generally take a few forms. One of the most common is soul loss. So soul loss sounds very big and scary. It really is just part of your energy or your soul essence. Your energetic body, really. It's not the soul like the Christian soul that leaves due to shock or trauma. It can be a sudden shock like a car accident, or it could be an ongoing trauma like an abusive relationship. Now, this is incredibly common. It's actually a survival mechanism of the soul, and it happens to everyone. Like, literally everyone has some kind of soul loss. In traditional societies, like, for example, in many Native American cultures, even the mothers are trained to recognize signs of soul loss in their children, and to sort of, there's a song that they sing that can call the soul part home. If it happens, you can call it back straight away if it's just happened without a lot of specialist help. But normally, these soul parts either stay stuck in a point of trauma or they kind of go away and hide. And that leads to emptiness. One of the ways that you would maybe know that you have soul loss is a feeling of emptiness or feeling really different after you had a trauma. Like if you had a car accident and you never felt the same sense, that would be a very significant pointer at soul loss. But it can be something a lot more minor, you know, just being laughed at in front of the class or trauma is very relative. Other symptoms of soul loss from an illness perspective can include things like PTSD, depression, like extreme sadness, dissociation, addiction. Even from a shamanic perspective, soul loss can cause a coma. Although, of course, you have to understand with everything that I'm talking, there are always medical reasons. Now, another thing that can happen to cause or have a hand in illness is power loss. Quite like soul loss, power means, in shamanic thought, power means like life force energy, almost like chi. It's not like power over someone or something. It's your vitality and your life force energy, a very inherent and important part of you. This can happen to all of us. In fact, it does happen to all of us. Both soul loss and power loss really happen to everyone in our culture. It can happen a lot when we sacrifice our integrity or we allow our boundaries to be violated, when we internalize limiting beliefs, or we sort of give our power away to others, let other people take advantage of us, you know. And sometimes others can steal it. Shamanically, this was really, in traditional shamanic cultures, power theft is a huge thing. But it can happen sort of from on an unconscious level, particularly when you're dealing with people who are narcissistic or have sociopathic tendencies. They can kind of steal our power. I don't want to get too into that, but it is definitely possible. Some signs that you might have power loss is that you could have really low vitality. You maybe can't make positive changes in your life, like you have a dream and you just can't get there, you can't move towards it. It could cause chronic illness or have a hand in chronic illness. Again, depression and fatigue. These are just some signs. Power loss and soul loss usually go hand in hand. So often when someone has a soul retrieval, which is kind of the shamanic fix for this, they would also have a power retrieval. So another thing that can cause illness from a shamanic perspective is, well, the umbrella word for it is kind of entanglement. So with soul and power loss, you are left with kind of holes in your energy, and that can attract what we call intrusions. That's any other energy that comes in that shouldn't be there. Things that attach, you can get unhealthy cords to other people. And it can go all the way up to possessions. Now, possession is, of course, a big word. I don't like to use that word too much because it sounds a bit scary. But it's pretty common, I would say. And you can be possessed by any number of things, and there can be a partial possession, you know, like something that's just partially a little bit in your energy field, to a total possession where you are completely taken over. That is much less common. You can also be possessed by sort of negative emotions and thought forms. Maybe that's another whole other topic. Possession is complicated. But how might you know that you're suffering from entanglement? I mean, you can, again, have low energy. You might feel very drained. You could have an extreme attachment in an unhealthy way to a relationship, like you just can't get away. That would be a symptom of unhealthy cording, like cords going to someone that shouldn't. And, of course, if you have a possession, particularly like a spirit or a ghost possession, there might be some scary signs. You can also feel pain at a point of a physical or emotional pain when there's a physical attachment. Okay, spiritual attachment is not physical. But this is all really fixable with shamanic healing. And depossession, which is removing a spirit or an energy that's stuck in your field, is an amazing transformative experience. Really, that was my first shamanic experience, was a very extreme possession. I had a really, really big possession, basically, of some kind of nasty entity that was feeding on fear. And it just was extraordinary afterwards. It was like the sun came out. So although it sounds scary to think about possession, removing these entities or these things that can have varying degrees of influence on your life and your health can really make a huge difference. As can, of course, returning your soul and your power, and removing other intrusions and unhealthy cords and all of that. Another thing that can affect our health shamanically that I would be looking for if I was doing a healing on someone would be looking for ancestral patterns. Now, these are inherited physical, mental, or emotional patterns that come from your blood lineage, from your DNA, from your ancestors. You can also inherit curses, which is a more extreme form of that. And there can, of course, be issues that come from your past lives. And in my tradition, that is also considered ancestral. That's your soul ancestors. I did a show on that a few sessions back. Now, how would you know that you're being affected by ancestral patterns? Well, if you have patterns of behavior, of things that keep happening, that keep coming back despite your work, if there are extreme patterns like every man dying before he's 50, that would be an example of a curse. Sometimes definitely health patterns, health problems can be ancestral in origin. And healing them by going to the root, dealing with the ancestors, removing them, it heals yourself. It heals any descendants that you may have or that anyone in your family may have. And it also heals backwards in time. So because we're kind of playing in the quantum field here, so it's not just you healing yourself and forward, you're also healing the ancestors behind you. So it's a very powerful form of healing, and one that I have done quite a bit for my own self and my own lineage. And when my son was having health problems recently, I did some healing work around that and realized that I needed to visit the village from my mother's father's lineage, which coincidentally I only found out about 2 months ago. Came from Switzerland. The family actually came from Switzerland two hours away from where I live now. And I needed to go there and do some energetic work because some of his illness was a result of these unhappy ancestors. So it can be very complicated and it can take time, lineage, ancestral healing, but it also has the power to really shift physical, emotional, mental health. Now, one more thing that I might be looking for, and this is something that we all have to a greater or lesser degree, is the relationship with the natural world. Like, is it out of balance? Are you someone that is just totally disconnected from the earth? Because that in itself is enough to cause illness. We are designed to live with nature, to be with nature, you know, to feel the wind on our skin, to stand on the earth. And sometimes if we closet ourselves off and we're living in a very artificial environment, that can be really bad for us. And so that can contribute to our disease. Now, one thing that shamanic healing does, like the overall goal, is to balance the energies, to restore harmony within you, within an individual, within you, and then between you and your community, and then between your community and the spirit world. So we're really looking to make a holistic sense of balance, to try and heal the whole person, but also the whole community. And the thing is that change starts with one person. So I always look at every time I'm healing one person, the ripple effect ripples outward and affects everyone. And we're trying to bring our society back into right relationship, perhaps, with spirit, because we have forgotten our way a bit in our way of living. It's great. I love modern life. I really do. I really enjoy many, many modern things, but we are a little bit out of touch with the spirit world and with our inherent nature. Now, the shamanic view on mental illness is interesting, particularly shamanic, like traditional shamanic societies like African shamans. They see mental illness like borderline personality disorder or schizophrenia as a spiritual crisis, not a medical crisis. And I remember reading about Dr. Maladoma Patrice Somme, who was a famous West African shaman, and he came to the U.S. I think in the 80s as a graduate student, a medical graduate student, and he had to go to a mental ward in a hospital, and he was completely shocked to see these people that to him were experiencing a spiritual emergence, being like locked away and medicated and put in straitjackets. And he just thought it was a real shame that they were wasting their potential, that all these people could be potential healers. Because in his culture, which I think is the Gara tradition, people would have been helped, they would have been allowed to bridge, would have been given a space to experience their mental illness and given boundaries and guidance to become a bridge from the spirit world to the normal world. So, and what he said he saw when he was in these mental wards where all of these people were being like tormented by entities that were feeding on them, and it wasn't being addressed properly. Now, I have mental illness in my family. I have an aunt that was diagnosed with schizophrenia, and I would say that was true. Like, my experience of seeing her was that she was suffering from some sort of, she was definitely suffering from possession or partial possession with entities around her when she was having an episode. It wasn't something that I could fix. She wasn't really open to that. You couldn't even really talk to her when she was in that state, but I agree with this. But this doesn't mean that every time you have a breakdown, like you're being called to be a shaman. It does mean that some causes of mental illness, and we're talking mental illness, you know, probably quite serious mental illness, can be that because we're not equipped to deal with a sudden psychic opening. I did have a client who basically had a psychotic breakdown because she went to the Amazon and did a lot of ayahuasca and wasn't prepared and wasn't supported. And it basically, she contacted me after she got back, but she had to go to the hospital. It was not even, because sometimes that's necessary. Even when you're working shamanically, sometimes. And with everything, medical treatment is a necessary and a good thing. I never would say to someone who had any ailment, you know, don't see a doctor, see me, or see someone like me. You need to kind of do both. It's really, really helpful to work with the shamanic approach to illness as well as a medical approach to illness. And, of course, homeopathy, any other kind of alternative treatments. But I am a fan of medical. I mean, not always, of course. Allopathic medicine is sometimes terrible, and when the physicians are very close-minded, as they seem to be more in the United States. In Switzerland, you're often prescribed herbs and all sorts of homeopathic things along with normal treatment. That's kind of a different thing, but it's very important to address any of your illnesses medically. You may have heard something called shaman sickness, which, again, is this idea that you might have a breakdown or a huge mental, physical crises because you're being called to be a healer. I mean, sometimes that happens, but it isn't that simple. You can get sick from not following your life path, but your illness can also be your life path or part of it. And sometimes it's hard to explain, like whether it's a chronic lifetime illness or something like cancer, you may have chosen it to learn certain soul lessons before you incarnated. And that can be very hard to accept. A really good book on this is called Your Soul's Plan by Robert Schwartz. That covers this kind of pre-life planning idea, and it's broadly accurate in as far as I can tell. Now, if this is the case, if your illness is part of your life path, you can do all of the healing in the world. You can do, you know, everything shamanic, you can try every sort of treatment, and you can still have the illness. Now, I have this experience. I have narcolepsy, which some of you may have heard of. It's not particularly well known. It is a neurological disorder that causes REM sleep to sort of intrude upon the waking state. So it's a dysregulation of the REM sleep, of the sleep-wake systems. And essentially it causes extreme fatigue, the desire to want to sleep every few hours. It can cause sleep paralysis. It can cause muscle weakness when emotions happen. It's challenging to live with, I have to say. My father also has it, slightly unusual to have it in families, but my dad also has the same thing. I was told once by a psychic that it was punishment for me misbehaving in a past life, which I carried with me for a really long time. Like, oh my God, I must have been a horrible, I think she said I was a horrible, you know, that I did something horrible and therefore I've been punished. And that was really, really unhelpful, because then I felt very, very upset by this. I felt, you know, that I've been such a horrible person that I must deserve the suffering, because it is challenging. It is challenging. It's, you know, it's like chronic fatigue, but with more interesting symptoms, I suppose, or more, you know, a little bit more dreaming going on. And I struggled for years and years with this. It was hard to work full time. I have to take medication. It's been a challenge, I have to say. And it wasn't until, you know, I started my formal shamanic training. And when I started it, I said something to my teacher who had immediately said to me, like the first time he met me, he said, oh, you're a shaman. And I was like, oh, no, I can't be. I'm from California. What are you talking about? And then I told him a little bit about my life, and he went, oh, yeah, you're so messed up. That's just like all the shamans. That's how it's supposed to be. And I was just like, oh, great, thanks. He's very plain talking. like many shamans are. But it took quite some time, and then I realized that it was part of my soul's purpose. It is part of my strength at being a shaman, because I have, through the dream world, which is ever present in my waking state, a very, very quick an easy route to the spirit world. So shamanism comes very easily, spirit communication comes very easily, psychic abilities, all of that. And it is tied up with my narcolepsy. And of course the experience of, let's say, suffering, although that sounds a bit dramatic, and the things that happened to my family because of my father's narcolepsy are also part of my soul's plan. So it's complicated. And if you are struggling with a chronic illness, I hear you. I know how that is. I know how that is still every day. You know, I went to Peru for 6 weeks, and the shaman there was like, oh, yeah, we'll get rid of it. We'll get rid of it. You know, you do ayahuasca, it'll be fine. And it didn't get healed, because it's not supposed to be healed. And I accept that now. I know that this is my life path, but saying that, there are many shamanic things that can be done to help illness, and it can be extremely powerful and extremely helpful. I never, of course, would claim to heal anyone. I have had some people that have had miraculous, quote-unquote, healings. I won't say them on air because I don't want people to think that I am a miracle worker. Those kind of things happen only if it's in the soul's plan, only if it's sort of like meant to be. So they happen very rarely. It's happened twice out of all of the people that I've seen who have had chronic or critical illnesses, but it has happened, that kind of unexplained healing, which, you know, I was just as surprised about as they and their doctors were. So I hope that was an informative little talk about the shamanic approach to illness. I do this kind of work remotely, but there are many people that will do it. It is important to find a good practitioner. You have to find someone who has the ability to hold the energy, someone who you can trust and feel safe with when you're doing this kind of work. There are many people that do shamanic work, but you have to... They also, just like everyone, vary in quality. So you have to make sure that you have a good practitioner. But shamanism really can help if you have an illness and need that little bit extra. So I guess that's all that I have to say about that. So we can start taking callers now.
All right. Can you let people know what the parameters are? Like, what can they call in and ask about?
Right. Okay. So I am open to people asking about their own illness or the illness of someone else, and maybe I can give them a little bit of a view of what might be causing it from a shamanic perspective, like whether it's the kind of soul loss, power loss, or, the entanglement, that kind of thing. I'm happy to do that. I cannot do a healing live on air. That doesn't really work. It's a little bit more energetically involved, but I can sort of give some guidelines about that. And, of course, also about ancestral patterns or anything really that might need some some shamanic guidance. So basically ask a shaman. I can give a little bit of a reading, but I'm not doing a healing. Does that make sense?
So you mentioned energy readings. How does that work?
Well, I'm just going to tune into someone's energy field when they're speaking or when they're speaking about someone, and I can just get a sense from my my guides. And yeah, just pass on the information that I get.
All right. Well, let's dive in. Let's go to one of the all ones. One of you is now live. What's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Well, it's good for you to acknowledge that I'm alive.
Yay! I'm glad you're alive.
So am I. It's good to be alive.
Thank you both. So am I. That makes three of us at this moment in time. How is each of you doing?
Meh. Hanging in.
Sorry, I missed that. Did you ask how I was doing?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I'm good. It's been an intense, energetic week, but it's good.
Mm. Good. This is Opulence. And
oh, hello, Opulence.
Greetings from so many places and spaces that are possible for us to enter into in this moment in time. I had the pleasure to meet Melodoma and his wife, about 10, 15, maybe even longer than that, had a school, a Afrocentric school based in the Kemetic, which you might refer to as Egyptian expression, but not limited to that. And a wonderful experience happened. I used to co-own a art gallery, and one of the emphases was authentic African art from Africa, traditional, ceremonial, etc. And we used to sell to the owners of the school. And we went down there to set up to sell our artifacts and our other personal creations. And we were set up in the back of the the experience. And this was quite intriguing because several pieces that we had sold to the school while we were standing in the back, and no one saw it but the two of us that I know of, they started moving. One was a centiphone, which is called a messenger bird. I'm thinking it's from the art I recall. It stood about 3 feet tall and maybe 4 feet, no, maybe closer to five, actually. And it was rocking, and then one of the masks on the wall was moving. So, with that said, there was a gentleman there as well who I had a connection to from a long time ago. And he brought into my energy the Yoruba religion. I won't elaborate on that, but he brought that into my family. He bypassed me, actually. And then Melodoma, when he signed my book, he said something about, because I was dancing with the drums, probably along with other people, about you could see the ancestors. So with all of that said, any ancestral information that is pertinent to me at this time as I move forward on my journey toward greater paradise.
Right. Well, that's a fantastic story. Thank you for sharing that. It is quite amazing. You were dealing in artifacts that were really alive from a shared perspective, so they were just letting you know that. And that's amazing that you got to meet Melodoma. I never got to. He came to England a few times when I lived there, but I never quite made there. For you, opulence, I think the important thing is to concentrate on the ancestors who are dancing in joy, the ones who were not the ones that carry the patterns. There is still the heaviness around, I presume, the slavery from your ancestry. Like there seems to be some kind of fettered, like chain kind of experience that is still there, but that is in the process of being transmuted. So if you feed the energy to the ancestors of longer ago, the ancestors who were dancing to the drums, who knew the old ways, if you give them your love and care and intention, they can also help with the transmutation of the negative sort of patterns of slavery and disharmony and entrapment of the more recent ancestors. So the message to you is to sort of pour your love out, almost like you're pouring libations, you know, like you can make an altar and you can dance for these ancestors, the ones who came way before you, a few hundred years, I would say, who have that connection like you do because you are them and they are you, to the drums, to the dancing, to the magic, to those old ways that were much more in harmony. And if you build a relationship with them, just by honoring them, I mean, you could build a relationship by building an altar, but you can just honor them, even through dancing for them. That will help, and that will increase the amount of joy and presence in your ascendance.
Interesting. I do have an altar.
Oh, good.
I visit it more now than I had since I built it, and I created it quite a while ago, years ago. And I was have been wondering what I should be doing on my Earth Day, my solar return, which is on the 23rd, and that is what I will be doing. One of the things
yeah.
I will be doing, dancing.
That would be, yeah, that would be lovely. They would love that. And put some fruit and some flowers and anything that honors them. You know, if you know where they came from, traditional cloth or beads or food or, I don't know, maybe put some soil on the altar, obviously. Any soil is fine. Just something to really honor them. That would be, but dancing. They love dancing. I can tell you right now. My ancestors, not so keen. I got some Puritans in the mix. Like, they're not happy. They're not into dancing. But yours, 100%. So dance is a really, really beautiful thing to do. And yeah.
And so it shall be. Thank you. Thank
You're
you
very
welcome. Much.
Yes, and have a wonderful birthday when it comes on the 27th. Yeah, the 23rd. Yeah. 23rd, okay. So in a few weeks, 2.5 weeks, enjoy.
Namaste.
Thank you.
Beautiful. All right. Keep in touch. Let us know how that all goes. Let's go to 504 next. Who we got there? What's your first name? And where are you calling in from?
Hi, Debbie, Louisiana.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
How can I help you?
Yeah, I am going through some really traditional times right now, and I was wondering if you had some tools for me, that your some advice on how to manage this better.
Sure. So what exactly is happening? Like, can you give me a little bit of an idea of what you're going through?
It feels like a midlife crisis.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know, reinventing yourself in between, you know, taking care of a parent that is not the friendliest. You know, just a whole, it's changes on every front. And I find it just free, almost like I'm re-traumatizing. The good thing, I found a baby squirrel, so I felt like that was a good omen. I know, you know, in January, and I guess I'll be releasing him, you know, sometime this summer.
That's really nice. That is actually, so I'll just say something about the squirrel. In shamanism, squirrel is shamanism, like it's the most shamanic animal that you can have, because the squirrel can travel up and down the tree of life like a shaman.
Oh, wow.
So a squirrel is always, whenever you see a squirrel, it's like the shaman's animal. So you're raising one. So that is, if you're going to look at the shamanic meaning behind that, that is like nurturing your inner healer. And it sounds like you're having a lot of external pressures. And you might be having physical changes if you're in midlife. I mean, shout out to all the women in menopause, myself included, okay? It's a really hard time, like, let's be honest. If you're experiencing that, that also breaks down a lot of barriers and it reopens a lot of wounds. This time of our lives in our, like, sort of, I would say early 40s to mid-50s, but it varies depending on the person. Really connects into early trauma, to earlier traumas. So you're going to be reawakened with all of that. Then if you're having to take care of a parent and then you're dealing with all of that, that childhood trauma and just everything all at once, this is definitely one of those times that is remaking you. And you are, a good way to look at it is that it's, like a spiritual reinvention, a reawakening.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the dark night of the soul can come from external factors as well as internal factors. It can be caused by outside events. It doesn't have to be just internally sitting in a room feeling really upset. So I would say nurture yourself like you're taking care of this baby squirrel. And maybe look into shamanic practices. There are like shamanic journeying. There are courses that are quite reasonable on the Shift Network about shamanic healing.
Okay.
And there are some other ones that I could recommend if you would like to email me.
Okay.
My email address is iris@brightshaman.com. You can also find
okay.
it in the show notes online. But I can recommend a few things that can help. Of course, also a healing would help. Like a healing from me, for example, would be really beneficial to kind of call back your energy, reestablish your boundaries. I think that there's some the cording, like there's something obviously off with the relationship with your parent. Is it your mother,
yep.
your father?
Mother. My father
died
recently, last year.
Okay, so
but
you're dealing with, and that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Both of those are very re-traumatizing, and I didn't think that would come back to bite me in the butt, you know? I was really shocked that I'm still dealing with that.
Yeah, trauma is a funny thing. It goes away for a long time, and then it comes back, and it continues to come back sometimes, even when we think we've healed it. That's been my experience with my own trauma. But every time it comes back in a different way, and it's healed in a different way. So now you're working on it in a really deeper way, and obviously being provoked in that way by your mother, which is not fun. For you, really. I really do. Yeah. So look at when you can. I don't know if you're caring for your mother full time. That really takes a lot of energy. But look at maybe some spiritual work, some shamanic work to kind of go with that message with the squirrel, you know, that maybe traveling using this particular form of spiritual exploration, which is a very grounded form of spirituality and therefore is particularly good when you've had trauma. So maybe exploring some of those resources. And I'm also happy to do a 20-minute free call where we can chat about that, and I can give you them in person if you want or as you like.
Oh,
but
yeah,
so I would say this is a little bit of a call to discover your inner healer, your inner shaman, even just, you know, to really go within and use these traumas when we look at trauma, we use them as points of transformation.
It almost feels like what's the word I'm looking for, like some sort of sabotage for me, because I was kind
uh-huh.
of, it was just like everything got blown up, you know, work, my home,
yeah,
you know,
okay,
it's just
yeah
at once, yeah.
And that could be also, there could be some patterns there, like some forms of ancestral patterns, or some other kind of not great energy at work as well. So, but it can be a bit of both.
I'm an empath too, on top of it, so that's
of
a little challenging.
Of course, it's really challenging. I mean, I feel you, you and all the other empaths. I totally get that. But sometimes everything blows up because it needs to blow up, and that has been my experience on multiple occasions. It really, and that is so sucky. Like,
yeah.
I've been on the floor going, why? I've already done this. Why is this happening again? And it just happens.
And they say that we're having these solar storms and they're not going to ease up until Sunday. So
it's been intense. Yeah.
It's so intense.
It's been intense. Just be gentle with yourself. All about the self-care as much as you can, you know, whatever that looks like for you. If that's a glass of wine and a steak or a bath and a walk or watching Netflix until 2 a.m, whatever it is, to get through it. But feel free to contact me. But do look at this. It can be a positive experience or a negative experience with a positive outcome.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Keep in touch. Let us know how it goes. See how we're doing for time. Looks okay. 831, you're next. Let me get the right button there. 831, what's your first name? Where are you calling in from?
Hi, Vivian Monterey. And thank you, Isis. I'm
you know, I've had a lot of shamanic healing, but I didn't really know what it was until your introduction describing it all. I've had soul loss through trauma and retrieval. Energy theft, which is not a one-time thing. I mean, I think a lot of us are subject to its potential. But anyway, energy theft, that seems to be a recurring thing. But and auric holes, I mean, I was very, very porous at one point. And anyway, I've had some various shamanic healers, although that's not what they call themselves, who helped me with this. So being able to identify it, I just was enthralled with what you were saying at the beginning. You just touched on so many things. And I just really wanted to thank you for that. And if I feel like I'm going through another mini transformation right now, and if you or your guides have any insights into my energy at this moment, I would appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Of course. And thank you, Vivian. Thank you for letting me know that that was helpful and touched you. I'm really glad. It's nice to know what's going on. I always like to tell people what's happening because it makes it a bit clearer, and it's good to know. I would say that you are going through an energy upgrade. You definitely have worked a lot. You had a lot of problems because your energy was too open. Mine also was too open. Like, there are people who are naturally empaths, naturally very giving, and their energy is quite open to the world. And it's really important to protect yourself. I don't know if you do a practice where you maybe imagine a glowing egg around you. I mean, there's one that I do. I have one that's called the skin and the egg, where you imagine a skin around your inner energy body and an egg around the outer energy body, and balance the chakras in between. And that's a very good protection from things that are trying to come in. I am happy to give that one to you or to anyone who wants it. It's not on my website yet. I'm in the process of redoing my website, so you can email me if you want. Again, it's iris@brightshaman.com. So I'm happy to give that to you. But you can do it any other way you like. So it's important to protect yourself, because I do feel that there are people around you that are very kind of grabby or energy vampire-y. And this can be the case for all of us. So working on your protection, working on your grounding. Mm-hmm. Did you want to say something about that?
No, I appreciate you identifying that and telling me that. Protection, I've been tuning into that more and more and realizing it, that I need it at times throughout the day, not just once in a while or randomly here and there.
It's really good to do it in the morning, even before you get out of bed, or when you're in the shower is also okay if you shower in the morning, like straight away. During any times during the day when you're around a lot of people or you're in a situation where you feel like you need it, and at night. And it very quickly you're connecting to the center of the earth, bringing the energy up through the top of your head, letting it sort of rain down around you and form a skin. The way I was taught, or the way that works best for me, is like a shimmery black skin, because black is very protective, but more like a rainbow color, black with like a crow feather, you know, not solid black. And then around that, a luminous egg, which is the outer egg of the outer edge of our energy body in gold. There are a lot more steps, but that's basically it. And the skin and the egg together, I'm asking for the protection of the universe. Really important to do that multiple times if you can, because I do feel like you're someone where people or things are trying to drain you. And that will really help. Also, you know, going out in nature, maybe spending time at the ocean. You live in Monterey. I mean, what a beautiful place. Like, really connecting back into that natural world will help you as well. And just be gentle with yourself. You might have low energy for the next maybe 6 months because you're in the process of upgrading your energy. This is the message that's coming to me. So just be grounded, be protected. Maybe work on your personal boundaries a little. Boundaries are really hard. I really know that. And just know that you're in this process of energetic shift. I hope that's helpful.
It is. These are two things, protection and clearing are these, you know, two things that I've been focused on rather intently these past 2 or 3 weeks. I've just been practicing throughout the day, and it is making a big shift, and also latent things and things that were more deeply layered are coming to the surface, and I'm releasing. But you know, I'm realizing that they are deep things coming to the surface through this process that I'm doing with clearing, and protection with better boundaries. And you mentioned grabby people around me, and you know, I've had that my whole life.
I really want to
find more supportive people in my life, and even people who I think are supportive really aren't. And you know, I'm coming to learn that faster and faster with certain individuals that I encounter. But is there something, because I know that other people have this problem too, is there something that you can say to address how to move away from that, or what that is, or how to live with it, or what something?
I mean, it's complicated. Part of it is a lack of discernment, so not being able to see like the truth of what's in front of you. But that can be usually based on good motives. Like, I have also had this problem because I just thought that everyone was good and wanted to help me and was a nice person. And of course, that's not true. It can also be an issue with yourself, with your own boundaries, with giving your power away, and giving your power away to the wrong sort of people. It takes time and usually repeated lessons, but like you said, you're learning to recognize them more and more, that the people, you know, the people who aren't right for you, the people who are taking advantage of you. It's a combination of just being learning over time, of an energetic shift within yourself. Because when you do all the clearing, when you have your energy back, then those sort of people aren't as attracted to you, and also when you're protected, you're not giving away energy. There aren't any openings. So it's a mix of things. It's not just one thing. And this has been my experience as well. I used to always give myself away, and never in romantic relationships, but always in friendships. I had an issue with female friendships where this kind of dynamic would happen. And it just kept coming back and kept coming back and kept blowing up until I really got it. Sometimes that has to happen. You just have to, it has to keep coming back and back and back and back, like, you know, 10 times. And then you finally are like, no, okay, this is going to stop. It takes time.
Thank you. Yes, that's very helpful. Thank you. I really resonate with what you're saying. I really deeply understand it.
Good. That's good. I mean, it sounds like you're doing a lot of work. You may consider being accompanied by someone if you're not already, because there is a limit to the work that you can do in yourself. There's always something. You always have a little bit of a blind spot. It's like trying to cut your own hair. You know, like, you need someone to do the back. It just came to me, but it's totally like that. Like, you can do a great job on most of it, but there are little few bits that you just can't see. It's a good analogy. I'm going to use that one in the future. But so always here. It would like some hair, some help with just trimming the back, you know, the back bit. Anyway,
okay. So it's Isis at brightshaman.com.
Iris, I-R-I-S.
I'm sorry. Iris,
no worries.
At brightshaman.com. Okay.
Yeah, Iris, like the flower. Yeah, that's right. Yes, thank you, Vivian. Lovely to meet you.
Lovely.
Okay,
take care.
Iris, thank you. Let us know how you're doing. And that was perfect timing as we're down to the last minute-ish and time for shameless self-promotion.
Okay, well, as I mentioned, you can get in touch with me. My email is Iris, that's I-R-I-S, at brightshaman.com. You can go to my website, which is brightshaman.com. On the Work With Me page or the contact and the contact page, there's a link to book a free 20-minute call where you can talk, you can ask me anything you like. It's not an obligation to work with me. I'm happy to give any resources or help with any kind of shamanic issues. It's the free discovery call, and I do have every month a free moon meditation. The next one is coming up on Friday, the 19th of May. You can find the sign-up details on my events page. Thank you very much.
Thank you, I was going to say Isis. Iris.
No, Iris, different goddess.
We will see you next time. Thank you. Your explanations of the shamanic realms are just so in-depth and helpful. So looking forward to next time already. Enjoy the ride.
Thank you. You too. Bye now.
And Dr. Holly is next after this quick reset break.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.